Welcome to the latest in our series of programs looking at the disabled in Ireland. Today we will look at the issue of transport and how it affects the lives of disabled people. We found out what the public sector is doing from two major transport officials in Limerick, James Galvin from Éireann Road Éireann and Paddy McGuinness from Bus Éireann.
There are some difficulties, particularly with the older carriages, which are not wheelchair accessible, some of the very old carriages, and that goes back to when carriages were bought, like most of ours were in the 60s, 70s and 80s. It just wasn't in people's mindset or mind's eye that we would have to look after these in the future. But I'm glad to say that any carriages built or ordered since the mid-1990s, particularly the Dublin Belfast line and the suburban services now in Dublin, including the Dart, are all wheelchair accessible. And at the moment we're ordering 67 new rail cars, and the needs of mobility impaired customers have been taken into consideration in the design of these.
Quite a few disabled passengers travel with us. Now all our city fleet are low-floored vehicles and are all wheelchair accessible. All our expressway fleet have what we call a kneeling facility, which means that we can lower the floor of the bus, so if they have a walking difficulty or something like that, they have easy access to the first step to get onto the coach. There is a designated area on all our city buses. Now one of the problems is that we have to get in near a footpath, because if there's cars parked and we have to park out in the road, the ramp going onto the bus then can be quite steep. So if you get onto a footpath, they have very, very easy access onto the city coach. When they get in then near the front of the bus, there is a designated area for the wheelchair, which is protected by bars at each side. So to go in and back, they have to reverse back into the area. We don't have actually clamps where we clamp the wheelchair down. You should remember now, the city buses travel at low speeds. They're totally different to high-speed expressway buses.
Railway infrastructure is up to 150 years old. And again, it was designed at a time where, if you can imagine, 150 years ago, the last thing that people thought, I don't know if wheelchairs were even invented back 150 years ago, but it wasn't in the mind of planners. So what we've been doing in the last number of years is upgrading our facilities. So where any major reconstruction work is taking place in stations, like Limerick, for example, if you can walk around it here, you'll see that there are wheelchair ramps in place. And once you get into the station, it's level access. And it's the same with other stations. Limerick Junction is the same. And anywhere where we're doing work, Innes was another recent example, where we put in toilets for our disabled customers. We have them here in Limerick. So anywhere we're doing major renovations work, the needs of the mobility impaired people are taken into account.
Bus Éireann throughout Ireland would have 20 rural buses with wheelchair accessibility. Our expressway coaches are high-speed coaches, high-floored, because you need the underfloor space for luggage. And unfortunately, we can't get wheelchairs onto those coaches. To have wheelchair accessibility onto expressway coaches, you need a lift to lift the wheelchair up to the floor level, and you'd also need anchorage to anchor down the wheelchair in case there's an emergency braking. Well, all expressway coaches are high-floored coaches. And the reason they're high-floor coaches is because people are carrying quite a lot of luggage, which you're not allowed to carry in the saloon of the coach. Well, which means you're going to have a high floor. So how do you get someone in a wheelchair onto the high floor? And the only way you can get it is by a lift. And how do you get the lift? And how does the lift work? Does it work at the back or does it work at the side? You know. And then where's the space going to be designated? Is it going to be the front, the middle, the back of the coach? And then it's no use bringing in a few expressway coaches with this facility, because why should you have it on the Limerick Dublin route, and not having the Limerick Cork or Limerick Waterford or Limerick Galway or some other routes. You don't have water problems, and they sever the whole of your fleet. And to buy in or to convert the whole of your fleet to get lifts and designated areas would be hugely expensive, and we just don't have the capital to do things like that.
We get some comments, and again, it's maybe back to a lack of understanding of the facilities. And when we explain to them that we're dealing with an old infrastructure, and we show them what we have done, and again, if you walk around Limerick, you can see some of the work we've done, and more will be done as new carriages come in place. They understand the situation. We don't have any statistics, or we don't quantify them, but we have found in recent years that there has been a slight increase. This is possibly partly due to the better rehab facilities that are available in places like Dunleary, and people are now much more mobile after accidents and other type of incidents.
We would be on par with European countries. If you visit any European countries, you don't have the expressway network in those countries, all with wheelchair accessibility. And until there's a European legislation to say that every coach should have wheelchair accessibility, I don't see it coming in the near future.
We have constant liaisons with disability groups, and we have a guide for mobility impaired passengers freely available at any stations. And in fact, what we ask people to do before they travel with us is give us a ring, either contact their local station, or we have a mobility liaison officer, Melanie McDonough, and her number is 01703 2634, that if we know in advance, it helps us, particularly at change of stations, at junctions, where we can have ramps available to ease access from one train to another.
We have ongoing training courses for our staff all the time. And they are very, very helpful, very, very helpful to people with disabilities. It is very, very seldom we will get a complaint. And Joe, if we do get a complaint, immediately we try and redress the situation or improve it, or that it won't reoccur again. For visually impaired people, our website is specially designed for them. Also, our expressway buses, there's amplification on them all, and the driver would announce destinations every place along the route. So there'll be no problem there with communication. We have high visibility nosing on steps. We have handrails, we have moquette seating coverings, we have high quality lighting and heating. We all our expressway buses have public address systems, electronic destination display systems, and all of those things are designed to make our vehicles more accessible and user friendly.
In Irish Rail, of the 134 stations, I think, in our network, Of the stations that have toilet facilities, there are 23 that do not have an accessible toilet, but this is being rectified as funding comes available. Some of the modern rail cars do have the most recent ones that they're in trial now in Limerick. Actually, we're trialling the trains running empty, but they're actually coming into service on the Dublin to Malahide and Bray lines. They would have wheelchair accessible toilets, and my understanding is that the next batch of rail cars and intercity carriages will have wheelchair accessible toilets.
Since 1998, we've brought in 143 new city buses, and every one of those buses are wheelchair friendly. Well, most certainly with all low speed, low floor buses that we purchase, they will all have wheelchair accessibility. There is a problem with high floored coaches, in the sense that you need a lift to get a wheelchair onto it, and you also need a designated space for the wheelchair, and you also need floor anchorage to secure the wheelchair. At the moment, we don't have that. All the time, we're trying to improve, and we do have contact with them. And I meet with them here in those county development boards, and they do tell you the problems that they encounter and things like that, and we feed that back to our people in head office, and they are aware then that, you know, as new fleet is bought in, all those things are taken into consideration, and it's an ongoing challenge trying to make the improvements all the time.
Derek Denny and I had this to say about transport facilities for disabled people.
Transport is a big barrier in our lives, because if you have to depend on public transport, you could be looking at your own for walls a lot of time, because it just isn't there in terms of access. And the biggest laugh for me is they give us free passes, but if we can't use those free passes, it's no good. Like, I'm quite a regular traveller up and down the train, and there's only one wheelchair space every train, and you could often have 3 or 4 wheelchairs looking for the same space, you know. It's crazy. And the second thing about that is it's in the dining car, and everyone else is in around you, so you feel compelled to buy something regardless. You might want to buy anything, but you just feel compelled in some way to buy something, you know. Coming back to buses, I really do feel that it's not only an issue for people with disabilities, it's an issue for all people. It's an issue for mothers and buggies. More should be done about it. I suppose I'm one of the lucky ones insofar as I'm my own van, but I can't drive my van, so which means I'm still relying upon someone to drive with me. I'm still relying upon someone to get out the house. Whereas if there was future disabled bus, I could hop on one and go away wherever I wanted to, you know. I just think that the government needs to do a lot more in this issue. Well, the stations themselves are okay, they're fine in fairness, but it's just when you get on the train, there could be, as I've said already, there could be two more widgets on the train. And then you've won the cutter, all right? And then your man comes on with the tea and coffee or whatever. He wants to get through. Where are you supposed to go? What are you supposed to do, like? And they leave you on the Colorado in the way, like. And I've said this to CIs several times, but they don't really care. Like, if I get off in Euston Station, Dublin, right? I have to get the taxi, right? Which is not always easy to get. While some of the buses might be tourists, but in Dublin, there's none in Euston Station to take you in to the city centre, where you want to go, you know.
Transport for me, I rely heavily on my wheelchair, on both wheelchairs. I have both a manual and an electric wheelchair to get around in. But I spend most of my time in the electric wheelchair that's going around my immediate area at home. Now, if I have to go away somewhere, sometimes it can present a problem, because there is a wheelchair taxi available, but there's only one wheelchair taxi in Innes. And if that is booked up, sometimes that can create a problem if I really need to go somewhere in an emergency. Yeah. But there are other forms of transport as well that I use. For instance, the Irish Wheelchair Association, I go with them a lot, and they pick me up regular in their buses. Once a week we go into their centre in Innes. But the thing about the Irish wheelchair is, they've recently got a smaller bus, and we also have a bigger one. But the thing about the bigger bus is, it's constantly giving trouble and breaking down, and the lift is breaking down, and it won't go up and it won't go down, and God knows what it's like, you know. And I don't know, countless times I have said, and we have written to the government for additional funding, for money. And the government just turn up their noses. When it comes to transport in this country, I think this government haven't a bloody clue. They don't know what they're doing. But I've only ever been on a plane once. And that was going to Lourdes, and that was in 1996. Since then, I haven't been on a plane. But
going back to what you said about the transport, I think it's a joke about these free travel passes.
Yes, could you expand a bit more on that?
The fact is, Derek, that you can only use these free travel passes on certain days.
Yeah.
And then if you want to use them, you have to ring up the train station and say, "Oh, I'm coming in a wheelchair. I need ramps and I need assistance to get on and off the train."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the life of me, I cannot understand why the government, instead of giving us these free travel passes,
yes,
wouldn't agree to paying something towards a taxi. Or a proper bus to transport us to and from the different areas.
I mean, as I said, if I'm going somewhere, I have to rely on a wheelchair taxi, you know? And there's only one wheelchair taxi in Innes. And if I really needed to go somewhere in a real emergency and that taxi wasn't available, I'd be stranded. Do you know what I mean?
But Derry, you think it's bad for you? It's even worse for me, Glenn. I'm in the back of your hands.
Yeah. But, you see, you have an advantage over us in that your family has a car, correct?
Correct, Derry, but that's not the point. My family has a car, I admit that, and we have a hoist. But I mean, If for example, I'm asked to go back into a meeting in Limerick to a board meeting, for me to get a taxi in and out, it would cost about 60 or 70 euro.
Yeah. But in relation, I'll just say this now. In relation to the wheelchair taxi, I'll just tell you another incident. One time I was going to a concert in Innes, and we'd our wheelchair taxi booked, fine. And we waited for half an hour for our wheelchair taxi. Never turned up. The next day, we found out that the owner of the wheelchair taxi had given it to somebody else to drive for the night. And this guy didn't bother his barney. He didn't feel like going out in the cold, so he just left the wheelchair taxi parked outside the bloody house, and we waiting for our lift to go to this concert. It was an absolute disgrace.
And Derek, if I may, how did you get to the concert?
We didn't. We had to leave it, unfortunately. But that's because this bloody taxi driver didn't bother his...
And may I ask you another question?
Yeah.
Had you paid money?
No.
For these tickets?
No. Oh, for the tickets, yes. Yes.
So why didn't you go back to the taxi driver and look for compensation?
Well, I suggested that to my sister. But she said, no, leave it. She didn't want to be causing a fuss. But what we did was we spoke to the guy that owned the wheelchair taxi. And we told him that the guy he'd given it a loan to didn't feel like picking us up, and he went back to that other guy, and he really gave it to him. But there should be more transport for the disabled in this country.
My brother lives in Dublin. Now, if I wanted to go see him, it would mean I'd have to ask my sister to drive all the way to Dublin, because getting a train is a joke. I don't know whether this is true or not, no or not. But you have to have the train booked in advance.
The Irish wheelchair now are lucky in one respect, because diesel or something for the bus, and if our bus wasn't there, then we could use one of the buses from Cushla to get us somewhere, you know?
When you think about it, the government ministers are driving around in these swanky Mercedes. I'm almost sure when they have to fill up with either petrol or diesel, they don't pay for it. It's the taxpayers of this country.
And have you ever travelled on an aeroplane?
I have. Once, to Lourdes.
And how have you found that?
Embarrassing.
Okay. Would you like to tell us a bit more on that?
It was actually on the return journey from Lourdes to Shannon.
Yeah.
4 or 5 fellas had to manually lift me over their heads to get me on the airplane.
My God. That was incredibly embarrassing for you, I'm sure.
It was, in the sense that every time I go, I don't really go to Lourdes now.
Mm.
Because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no complaints about the flight. The flights. Yeah. They're grand. And they're very accommodating in Shannon. But I mean, at the other end, there is no chair for to lift me onto the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I myself have only been on an airplane once. And I'll tell you this, I hated it. I wouldn't repeat it again. Because there was very little space between the seats. I could hardly move my legs. I was cramped for the whole journey. Then I started moving about in the plane. My ears started popping. My safety belt nearly came off me. I had to get the woman sitting next to me to put it back on again. It was an absolute, utter disgrace. And something that I would not like to repeat again.
May I ask, Derek, was this woman a complete stranger?
No. She... I went, you see, through the Clare 250-mile cycle, right?
But Derek, I went with them as well. And I mean, any time that I've gone with them, our belts and everything has been checked, or we've been asked to check them ourselves.
Yeah, well, my belt was checked first before the plane took off. And then in midair, the buckle came unloose. So the woman next to me had to get up, unbuckle her own belt, come over, tie mine, go back and sit down.
We also took a trip on one of our buses from Enable Ireland, and we heard from our driver Jack Fitzgibbon and our escort Eddie O'Neill.
The problem that we're having to get on the bus is there is a lift in the back of the bus, and the driver will put me on it and go up behind me, and the escort has to push the button. My journey I take every day would be I'd start off about 8:30 in the morning. I'd go to the market with a pickup in Cardavan. Then we'd have a pickup in my Ross, and I'll do to enable them then. so it's about an hour and a half journey on the bus.
And
it's the first routine in the evening.
Okay.
I must say I enjoy travelling on the bus. I enjoy it, especially when Jack is driving the bus. Use the bus very much during the day. It would depend on who would be going out and where would be going to.
You can see we got the runners on the floor. They're about a foot to 2 feet wide. And you've got two types of camping. You've got the normal clamps, and you've got the clamp by belting them. So you've got the clamps which grip the seat, and you've got the belts that go around the seat. Like the driver, so my job is to get them onto the bus, and Eddie's job is to open the door and work the heist and make sure that we're safe going up or getting off the bus.
And
we're not allowed out on the road without having an escort with us for safety reasons, just in case something happens. We've got one bus goes to we've got two buses down the West Limerick Run on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. On the Thursday we've only got one bus doing the West Limerick Run. And then we've got one bus doing the Killaloe Run and one bus doing the Clare Run. And then we've got a bus doing the NTTI Run, which takes in the city and it takes them up to the NTTI factory up in Raheen Industrial Estate. So that's about five runs. Well, we've got to have a first aid training. We've got to do it every 3 years. Eddie's just completed his second.
And clamping training. So now
we've got to. We do clamping and how to lift people.
First aid.
First aid. So, but the first aid you've got to do every 12 months. Manual handling we do every 12 months. We thought how to lift people and how to secure the chairs. And now we're in a traffic jam up front. There's been something happened in front of us there. That's okay.
Well, when I started first, I started as a driver. But what happened was that they ran short of bus escorts, and I was asked to do the bus escort for a small bit. So eventually I stayed on the bus escort job. I liked that job anyway, you know. It's well, I possess this responsibility. The job itself is a very enjoyable job, you know. It's most relaxing as well. We all get on well together, we have a good laugh and a good crack. So, my job really is to, we make sure that everybody's in fairly good old humour, you know. We don't take any notice about people passing remarks or whatever, you know. So, on the bus, we have our own laugh, and what happens on the bus stays on the bus. To a certain degree, you know. Okay. Everybody lets their hair down, simple as that.
During the day, we might take them bowling. Some of them, one or two of them would go to Croom, to the swimming pool in Croom. And we take them shopping, either to the Crescent or into the town centre. And others might want to have the girls, might like to go and have their hair done, as the boys do, would like to go and have their hair done as well, you know, get haircuts.
Take them to the movies now and
again. Take them to the pictures in odd time. They might go and have a meal across. Tomorrow they're going to Russell's, which is across the road, for them to have a meal. If these buses are not available, then there are a couple of taxis in Limerick which are accessible to the lads on the chairs. So they've got to use taxis if they want to go.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just learning the heist and then get them ready to take care of it goes. And after that, we're heading back home again.
And Jack is taking the clamps off
at the moment. As soon as he's ready, with his bit of ball hopping with Derek, we're all ready to head off. That's Derek's dad waiting at the gate as usual for us.
Thank you for listening to this program. We would also like to thank everybody who let us interview them for this program.
This program was presented by Enda Gallagher. It was engineered by Tommy Quill at Wired FM Studios, Mary Immaculate College, Limerick. Series producer was Kieran Ryan. This project was funded by the National Disability Authority under the European Year of People with Disabilities Fund 2003.